little exhortation. It's titled Praying Like Elijah. Praying Like Elijah. And turn with me to the book of 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1 is an exciting introduction of a remarkable individual in the Bible. This is the first time he's appearing in the Bible. His name is Elijah. And Elijah was a great prophet of God. Most of you know about him. You've read about him and how God used him profoundly in a very precarious time in the life of Israel. So 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. And it reads, "And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, 'As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word.'" That's how Elijah is introduced in the Bible. He blows into the pages of the Bible almost like a whirlwind. There's no previous mention of him, and he shows up and he's making a bold and audacious declaration before King Ahab. "There shall be no rain, no dew for years, unless I say so." Now that's something very bold to tell the king. Elijah appears in the story of Israel at a very difficult time in the life of Israel. It is at a time when the nation is in apostasy. The nation has backslided. The king, King Ahab, had married a very evil woman called Jezebel. And the two of them have introduced a new religion to Israel called Baalism, or the worship of Baal, which was the predominant religion around there. But in introducing the religion of Baal, they set out to persecute the priests and the prophets of God. Priests are killed, prophets are killed, people have run away from the country, and the prophets of Baal have taken over the whole land. And there's nobody who can speak up for Jehovah. The nation is in total apostasy. And so Elijah appears from nowhere, from a place called Tishbe. He's called a Tishbite. He asks, what is a Tishbite? He's a citizen of Tishbe. And where is Tishbe? Nobody knows. Subsequent archaeological study, nobody has been able to conclusively find where Tishbe is. Tishbe is probably a village in the middle of nowhere. It's like somebody from Gomua, China. Some village that nobody knows about. And he shows up and walks to the Flagstaff House and makes a bold declaration to the president and walks out. Who is this guy? Elijah, there shall be no rain, no dew, except I say so. Now you would ask, why did he make those declarations? Because the god Baal, or the Baal that the Israelites were worshipping, was considered the god of the storm, or the god of rain. He's a rainmaker god. So Elijah is saying, you are worshipping a god you say makes rain. I say he cannot make rain, and there'll be no rain until I say so. It's a spiritual challenge in the heavenlies, as well as a physical challenge to the king. And Elijah makes a proclamation, there will be no rain. And for 3.5 years, there is no rain. Something very interesting about him. Now, when we encounter this Elijah, he's making a declaration. Everybody say declaration. He's making a declaration. And we don't know what he had been doing before he made the declaration. But he shows up saying, there shall be no rain. So let's go to the book of James in the New Testament, because James gives us a perspective on Elijah. James chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. James is getting to the end of the Bible, getting to the book of Hebrews. You'll find James. Chapter 5. Now, much of chapter 5, James is talking about prayer. And he said, he asks, if anyone afflicted, let him pray. If anyone is happy, let him praise. If anyone is sick, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint him with oil. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. And if they have committed any sins, their sins will be forgiven. Then he says, confess your sins one to another. Pray for one another and you'll be healed. So he's teaching about prayer. And then as he talks about prayer, he gets to verse 17 and 18. And listen to what he says about Elijah. He says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Elijah is introduced as a man like us. James says Elijah wasn't any extraordinary guy. I mean, although when you hear of him first, you think, wow, what a man. But James is saying he's just like us. Because as you read later about the life of Elijah, you realize he had fears, anxieties, depression, like everybody else. When he was threatened, he ran away. When he was in trouble, he felt abandoned. So he's a man like each one of us. But he did something very remarkable. What made him do so? What was the power behind Elijah that made him come and make that bold declaration to the king? Well, if you read the book of James, it tells us what Elijah did before he made his declaration. The Bible says he prayed earnestly that it should not rain. But when you read Kings, it didn't say he prayed. He just said something. But James is saying Elijah prayed. So if you put the two together, it means that Elijah was praying for a period. Maybe he had been praying for a month. Maybe he had his own spiritual emphasis month where he was praying and fasting. Lord, let there be no rain. He's praying and praying and praying and praying and praying. And then he comes out and makes a bold declaration. So what you see with Elijah is that he prays, he makes a declaration. He prays earnestly, he makes a declaration. He prays earnestly, he makes a declaration. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to pray and we're going to make a declaration. Like Elijah, we're also going to make some decrees. And when he said, there be no rain, there was no rain. And he actually didn't limit it to rain. He said, and dew as well. No rain, no dew. And the land goes into farming. Because there's no rain, it's an agrarian society. There's no rain, no dew. So there's no food. And everybody's broke. But Elijah is fed. Although he himself became part or experienced part of the suffering, God sustained him and provided for him. Ravens fed him and a widow fed him. Most unlikely sources of supply. But God fed him. And he continued to have this encounter with Israel, the king Ahab, a very wicked king, his wife, a very evil woman, wanted to kill him, sent people to look out for him, but God protected him. Then one day, Elijah comes back after 3.5 years, and he says, go tell the king, I'll meet him on Mount Carmel. He should bring his prophets of Baal, and we're going to meet on Mount Carmel. Very bold guy. It's like somebody who goes to the Flagstaff House and they say, hey, tell the president, we'll meet at the Black Star Square or Independence Square and we'll see who is who. He says, let them come to Mount Carmel. Israel has been confused for too long. We knew Jehovah. The king has introduced Baal. Baal has his prophets. Let them meet me. And let's decide for once who is the true God. And they take him serious. And they meet on Mount Carmel. And on the mountain, Elijah said, this is the test. We're going to present a sacrifice to our God. Normally, a sacrifice should have fire, but there will be no fire. And the God who answers by fire, let him be God. If your God does it, I'll worship him. If mine does it, you worship him. It's simple, simple logic. So they go to Mount Carmel. The prophets of Baal, over 400 of them, they set up this altar, kill a bull, cut the bull into pieces, put it on the altar, and begin to pray from morning. They pray and chant and pray and chant and do all the things they're supposed to do. And nothing is happening. And Elijah begins to taunt them and say, well, shout a bit louder. Maybe he's doing stuff. Wherever he's gone to, you have to call him to come and help you. And they call and call and call, and then nothing is happening. Then the priests of Baal begin to cut themselves with the knives. Blood is gushing out from their bodies. This is extreme, intense engagement in the realm of the spirit, but nothing is happening. Because somebody is locking Baal from operating, and that's Elijah. And they continue praying, and nothing happens. So Elijah said, well, you've done your best. Now let me do what I have to do. Let me set my altar. He sets his altar. They kill the bulls, cut their meat, put it on the altar. And he says, well, you know, just to show you who God is, just get 12 barrels of water and pour it on the problem. In other words, just make it more difficult. Just complicate the problem. So they pour 12 barrels of water on the offering, dig trenches. There's water, there's blood, there's meat, there's stone, and it's all there. And he says, Lord God Jehovah, if you are the one who sent me and you are the God who is the ruler of the heavens and the earth, then let's show a sign so all these people would know that there is a God in Israel. And fire comes down from heaven and burns the whole sacrifice. Sacrifice is burnt, the water is burnt, the sacrifice is burnt, the stones are burnt. The whole nation bows down and says, the Lord is God, the Lord is God, the Lord is God. There is no God like Jehovah, there is no God like Jehovah. And after this great thing has happened, Elijah did something. Let's go back to 1 Kings. 1 Kings, chapters 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. First Kings chapter 18, verse 41 to 46. It says, then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went to eat and drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And seven times he said, go again. And it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he got out of his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Two declarations. One to stop the rain, the other to bring the rain. Why did Elijah have so much power? What was his secret? He's a man like us, according to James. What was his secret? What was the difference with him? What did he know that when we know can also operate with the authority he operated in? The first thing you see about Elijah is relentless prayer. Relentless prayer. James says he prayed earnestly. Earnestly that it should not rain, and it did not rain. He prayed earnestly. So he was relentless in prayer. He prayed with intensity and passion. The second thing about Elijah was that he knew the reality of God. The reality of God. He said, as long as the Lord God of Israel lives, what Elijah is saying is, God is alive. He's real. King Ahab says God is dead. Baal's prophet says God is dead. But I'm here to let you know God is real. If we're going to see power in our lives, we have to come with relentless prayer. But we have to also be confident in the reality of God. That He is real. He is alive. We don't just believe a list of myths. We believe the reality of God. The reality of God. Relentless prayer, the reality of God. And the third thing about Elijah. He says, as the Lord God of Israel lives before whom I stand before God. That is relationship with God. Relentless prayer, reality of God, and relationship with God. These were the three things that set Elijah apart. Relentless prayer, reality of God, relationship with God. He says, as the Lord God lives, before whom I stand. Now remember, at the time he's making this declaration, he's standing before Ahab. But he says, Mr. Ahab, Mr. King, I stand before you physically, but I'm not here because of you. I am here standing on a higher authority, higher than yours. Before God, I stand. You have to be able to say before your doctor that I'm standing before God. So the word of your doctor does not overrule the word of God. Before your bank manager, your loan officer, you say, I stand before God. Before the visa officer, you say, I stand before God. I have a relationship with God. I don't need to know you. Once I know Him, that's enough. Because He rules in the heavenlies, and the heavens will rule over the earth. The Lord God before whom I stand, Mr. King. That's the secret of Elijah. And he makes this bold declaration. There shall be no rain. He did not consult Metro Division. Definitely not the Ghana Metro. Didn't consult them. There shall be no rain. Unless I say so. Then after 3.5 years, after Mount Carmel, he says to the king, Mr. King, you can now get into your limousine and get the security people to take you quickly out of here. Otherwise, this rain is going to stop you because I hear the sound of abundance of rain. At the time he said that, there was no rain. Then after he had made the declaration, I hear the sound of abundance of rain, he goes back to Mount Carmel. He stands on that same mountain, the place of spiritual authority. And he bows down his head and puts his head between his knees. What is he doing? He's not just posturing. He's praying. He has said something. Now he has said, God, back it up. I said, rain is coming. I ask you, Lord, let the rain come. And he puts his head between his knees and he's praying and praying. The Bible says, earnestly. And he says to his servant, go check for the miracle. Servant comes, no miracle, sir. He says, go again, no miracle, sir. Go again, no miracle, sir. Go again, no miracle, 7 times. The 7th time, the servant comes and says, I see something. A cloud like a man's hand. Can you imagine a cloud like a man's hand in the midst of this big sky? It's enough to discourage you. After all the prayer, a man's hand. I prayed and prayed and prayed. God, you're showing me just a man's hand of cloud? Is that how rain is made? But Elijah says to the king, move quickly. And the Bible says, in the meantime. What is the meantime? The meantime between the man saying, the hand of a man, and Elijah saying to the king, move. The cloud expands into the whole heavens. And there's an abundance of rain. The pattern you see with Elijah, he prays and makes a declaration. Or he makes a declaration and he backs it with prayer. But he doesn't just pray, but he says it. Let there be no rain. And there is no rain. This morning we're going to pray a similar prayer. And we are going to say what should not be and what should be. Because the key is in our hands. I stand before God and at my word. Everybody say at my word. Say at my word. Say at my word. We're going to make declarations. Let's rise up this morning. We're going to pray very intensely. Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. For the next few minutes, maybe 10, 15 minutes, we're going to be praying. And we're going to pray intensely. Intensely. With earnestness. And then we're going to make a declaration. We're going to pray for our nation, Ghana. Whether you're a citizen of Ghana or not, we're praying for Ghana. You're here. We're praying for Ghana. For some time now, I've felt a spirit of heaviness, a deep heaviness in my spirit concerning this country. I felt almost as if we're on the verge of a major calamity. I don't always feel these things. I don't go into hyper things like that, but I've sensed it. It's the country is in dire trouble. And if we don't intervene, something will hit us that will scatter us from this land. But at our word. And that's why we've been praying and fasting all these days. And we're going to be praying for Ghana. We're going to come against any attack of destabilization, of civil war, of a military takeover, or bloodshed. We're going to come against it. And we're going to pray with earnestness. I don't want you to pray some lazy prayers and just yawn your way around and pray and forget and think about something at home. bring your mind, bring your spirit, bring your attention, because we are changing the destiny of this nation. We are changing things in the realm of the spirit. And then afterwards, we're going to make declaration. I want you to pray like Elijah prayed. If you feel like going on your knees, go ahead. If you feel like walking up and down the aisle, go ahead. If you feel like lifting up your hand, go ahead. If you feel like lying on the floor, whatever posture you are taking, we're going to pray. And you're going to pray for this nation with all your heart, with intensity. You're going to cry in your prayer, and you're going to call upon Jehovah to stand on behalf of this nation and deliver us and our children and our mothers and our wives and our fathers and our grandchildren. We're going to speak for the life of every Ghanaian. We're going to speak for God's deliverance. Are you ready to pray? Are you ready to pray? We're going to pray like Elijah. You're going to pray like Elijah, and the heavens will hear this afternoon, and there will be a shift in the life of this nation. Let's pray now.
We have fasted and prayed. It's now time to receive direction and insight.
Greater Works 2013 presents
Matthew Ashumalo,
Mike Okonkwo,
Tudor Bismarck, and our host,
Mensah Otterbill.
Greater Works 2013 comes off from Monday evening, the 29th of July, to Friday, the 2nd of August 2013.
When your provocation is over, your promotion will fall.
When I am confronting the devil, I am not doubting whether he will obey. He has to obey.
Morning sessions, 9:30 a.m. to 12 noon. Evening sessions, 5 p.m. to 8:30 p.m.
If there's anything you are going to show the devil, show him your worship.
There will be praise and worship by Reverend Eric Kwapon. Music ministration from Ghana is the Accra Symphony Orchestra. From Nigeria is the Midnight Creole.
God is the same. We don't change him. But we change what we receive from him and how he relates to us based on how we position our relationship to him.
Greater Works 2013. Worship at his feet.
Clapping hands.
the name of Jesus. We have prayed earnestly and will continue to back our declaration with prayer. Elijah prayed earnestly and he came out and made a declaration. And we're going to make a declaration of our nation. And we're going to come into agreement. We are many people, but the way we make our voice one is when you follow my prayer and you say amen to it. When I pray and I make a declaration and you say amen, it is as if you have said it. And our words are in agreement. And I'm going to make three declarations in my prayer very soon. I'm going to make declaration that there will be no civil war in Ghana. There will be no military takeover in Ghana. There will be no bloodshed in Ghana. And as we make those declarations, we stand as Elijah stood before Israel, so do we stand in Ghana as prophets of the land. By our word, these three will not happen. Hold somebody's hand. Heavenly Father, today we come into agreement as your children, as your church. We join our faith together. We join our prayer together. We join our expectation together. We join our prayer to the prayer of every Christian in every church who is praying for Ghana. For those who are praying for Ghana in the bush, those who are praying for Ghana on mountaintops, those who are praying for Ghana in their bedroom, those who are praying for Ghana in parks, those who are praying for Ghana in taxis, those who are praying for Ghana in their lives, in their own space. We come agreement with every prayer. We stand on their behalf of every Christian prayer that has been decreed over this land. And we make these declarations. By our word, there shall be no civil war in Ghana. We decree no civil war. 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 By our word, we decree that there will be no military takeover in Ghana. No military takeover. 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 In the name of Jesus.
We have fasted and prayed. It's now time to receive direction and insight.
Greater Works 2013 presents
Matthew Oshumalo,
Mike Okonkwo,
Tudor Bismarck, and our host,
Mensah Otterbill.
Greater Works 2013 comes off from Monday evening, the 29th of July, to Friday the 2nd of August 2013.
When your provocation is over, your promotion will fall.
When I am confronting the devil, I am not doubting whether he will obey. He has to obey.
Morning sessions, 9:30 a.m. to 12 noon. Evening sessions, 5 p.m. to 8:30 p.m.
If there's anything you are going to show the devil, show him your worship.
There will be praise and worship by Reverend Eric Kwapom. Music ministration from Ghana is the Accra Symphony Orchestra. From Nigeria is the Midnight Crew.
God is the same. We don't change him. But we change what we receive from him and how he relates to us based on how we position our relationship to him.
Greater Works 2013.
worship at his feet.
By our word, we decree there will be no bloodshed over Ghana. No bloodshed. No life lost. No bloodshed. 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 We come against the gods of this land, the forces of evil in this land, every tribal god, every ethnic god, every ancestral deity. No bloodshed. No bloodshed. No bloodshed. No bloodshed. No bloodshed. No bloodshed. In the name of Jesus, we decree over this land, before the king, we stand and decree, no bloodshed, no military takeover, no civil war. Somebody give praise to God. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Today we decree that the word of politicians will not rule the land. Presidents will not rule by their word. Leaders of opposition will not rule by their word. Parliamentarians will not rule by their word. Ministers of state will not rule by their word. Deputy ministers will not rule by their word. Serial callers will not rule by their word. Communicators of parties will not rule by their word. Radio stations will not rule by their word. Newspapers will not rule by their word. The Supreme Court will not rule by its word. By our word! By our word! No bloodshed! No coup d'etat! No civil war! In the name of Jesus! This is our authority. This is our authority. We stand with this authority over the destiny of Ghana. We're going to make two more declarations. Elijah said, there shall be no rain. Then he said, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. We're going to make declaration that there will be peace in the land. And there will be prosperity in the land. So hold somebody's hand. We come into agreement with every prayer that has been prayed before this time and will be prayed after us by every Christian for the peace of Ghana. We come into agreement with them. We decree the same thing with them. And we decree today, by our word, there will be peace in Ghana. 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 By our word, there will be prosperity. There will be prosperity. 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 Abundance. Abundance. Increase. Growth. Favor. Upon the land. In Jesus' name. Give God some praise, somebody. Hallelujah. The Bible says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So we decree that our prayer has availed. Our prayer has prevailed. Our prayer rules the land. Our declaration rules the land. In the name of Jesus. When Elijah When Elijah had said there will be no rain, and he left, the nation was in economic crisis, but God preserved him. In the last few months, our nation has had some major economic challenges, but I make a declaration, as it was with Elijah. He did not miss one meal. I decree over you, you will not miss one meal. You will not miss one payment. No school fees will be missed. No rent will be missed. No bill will be missed. The Lord will supply your need. If it takes a raven, he will supply your need. You will not miss any payment. You will not miss anything. No investment will be lost. No business will be lost. No contract will be lost. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You are not going down. You are coming up. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You will not miss anything. In your family, there will be supply. In your home, God will prepare a table before you. In the presence of inflation, in the presence of economic hardship, a table will be prepared before you. A table will be prepared before you. And God will cause your cup to overflow. I decree an overflow over your life. An overflow. 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 In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We are men of like passion. We are ordinary men and women. But we stand before Jehovah, and he is not a man that he should lie. We stand before Jehovah, and before Jehovah, we are no longer mere men. We are the voice of Jehovah. We speak the oracles of Jehovah. And by our word, it is well with Ghana. In the name of Jesus, and let's lift a shout of triumph. Yes, we take charge. 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 Oh, hallelujah. I sense in my spirit that we have taken charge. By our word. By our word. Hallelujah.